Mr. Russell Stewart, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Stewart?
Well, I was born in Edinburgh, actually. 1924. August 1924. I was born in Meadowbank District. That's just not far from where we are. We haven't moved very far.
And could you give us tell us a bit about your family and your childhood? What it was? Give us an idea of what your family was like. What your early childhood was like.
Yes. Well, my father, he worked for the railway. He was a clerk on the railway. They actually come from Ayrshire. We're really Ayrshire people. But my father immigrated to Edinburgh. He'd been working in the railway on the West Coast for a while, but came through, worked in Edinburgh, got a better job here. My mother also, she came from Coatbridge. Then I had a sister, of course, she's 2 years younger than me. She lives away up in Fockabers now, Fockabers is near Elgin. Famous for Baxter's the Canners, who make all the tinned food. anyway, the two of us, we were both born in Edinburgh. Sister and I were born in Edinburgh. We went to Parsons Green
School. Did your mother work?
No, never, no.
Were you comfortably off, for the time?
That's right, no. No, I was never worked, no. No, that was
were you comfortably off as a family?
Oh, yes, I would say so, yes. Well, probably my father had about £3.10 a week or something like that, when other people had maybe £2.10, things like that. Plus the fact he got free passes on the railway, so many passes on the railway, so that we could afford to go holidays away down to south of England, which in these days was a long way away. Other people were just going 20 miles down the coast.
Now, you were saying about your school. Which schools did you go to?
Well, I went to Parsons Green School, they called that, which was only a quarter of a mile up the road from where we lived. I was there till I was 12.
How did you do at school? How did you do?
Oh, well, quite well at that one. At Parsons Green, I was okay, yeah. I wouldn't say I was so good at the other school. We left that one and went to Portobello School, which is, that was a high school, as they called it. Down at, at Portobello, that's about a mile and a half away. I managed to get, we'll struggle through there.
What was the difference? What was the problem?
Well, I often wonder that myself. I don't know. I really don't know what the problem was, but I just never seemed to settle there, I don't know why.
Did you have a favourite subject,
Well, I always liked geography. travel. Maybe that's why I wanted to get in the Navy.
Did you do much sport?
Not really, no. I'm not a sporty type. Really.
Did you have any hobbies, or boys' organisations you were in?
Oh, yes. I was in, earlier on I was in the Life Boys. And then I went into Boys' Brigade.
Now, what sort of activities did you do with the Boys' Brigade? Can you tell us what you did? Because they're quite military in some ways.
actually I was in their band as a drummer. We used to do maybe a wee bit of football, in the local parks, things like that. Then, of course, you had a church service on a Sunday, so Boys' Brigade would maybe take at least 3 days out, 3 evenings out your week,
And did you do much drilling?
Every Friday, yes, every Friday. That was drill night. The whole evening, it would last probably 2 hours or so.
Did you enjoy the drills?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a uniform or just a band?
Yes, a uniform. Well, you wore a blazer and then you had a hat and, what did they call it now, across the road, across your chest you had, I can't remember what they called it,
kind
of knapsack, a white thing with a pouch at the bottom, actually. And then you had your badges and medals at the side.
And did you go away on camping with them, or was it?
Yes, once or twice.
What was that like?
It usually rained, of course. and also we went day trips away, maybe to one actually was to Bellahouston Park in Glasgow, Bellahouston Park. Which was, at that time, it was only on for, what did it call it now, the Empire Exhibition. Empire exhibition. It was people from all over the empire came, Canada, Australia, all the countries that had their own setup, and that ran for about 6 months, I think, that summer. So we were through there once or twice, actually, you know. That was very good, very good. They made great pies in the bakers.
So Boys Brigade was important to you? That was
very important.
Any other hobbies?
Well, I used to make models and things like that, you know. I still did up until a few years ago, you know. I used to get around and make a mess in the house.
Aircraft models or ship models?
Ship models.
Did you have a particular interest in the Navy before, you know, when you were a lad? What interested you about the Navy? Why the sea?
I don't know, I just always fancied it. Funny enough, nobody in the family was seafaring or anything like that. They were all, well, I'd been in the army first of all, but I just always fancied the Navy. Funny enough, my mother had a boyfriend who, unfortunately, was killed in the First War, and he was Navy. So I don't think that had any influence on me, really, but just coincidence, you know, that she fancied the Navy. Well, she'd always had a soft spot for the Navy.
Did you study the battles of the First World War and Nelson and the rest of it?
Yes. In fact, I still got one or two of the books there yet that I had before the war, you know. I used to send away for one or two books and read them. That was quite, well, one of my interests, you know.
Now, you'd leave school at 14, would it be, or later?
It would be just 14, yeah.
So that'd be 1938?
I left the school at the school holidays, and the war started at the end of the school holidays. You know,
so
what I mean?
1939.
Because I'd finished, just finished school then. Actually, we were away on holidays, I said already. My father got us away on holiday, and we were down at the Isle of Wight.
So you hadn't actually got a job, you know, lined up for
No, it was time to get jobs. It was difficult to get jobs in these days, you know.
Now, what do you remember of the outbreak of war? You were on the Isle of Wight, were you?
We were actually coming home on the Saturday from the Isle of Wight. We were in Sandown, Isle of Wight. We were coming home on the Saturday when we crossed in the ferry to Portsmouth. All the barrage balloons were up. But the war wasn't actually started, but the barrage balloons were up. So we came home on the train. Must have been got home on Saturday night, and the war was declared on the Sunday morning. The train was full of, when we were coming, it was full of people that were getting called up, must have been reservists and things like that. And something about a good thinking, and they were trying to forget their worries, I think. Don't blame them.
Now, what did your family, what did you and your dad and your mum and your brother think of the outbreak of war? I mean, did you think it would affect you? You were only, you'd be just 15.
Mm-hmm. How would it affect me?
How did you think? I mean, what did you think about it?
Yeah, well, I don't think you really had any firm thoughts on it. You know, you imagined that, there had been so much war. You imagined there were going to be swarms of bombers over the next day, sort of style. Fortunately, that didn't happen.
Now, what did you do when you got back to Edinburgh then? What job did you take?
For a few days, they thought everybody to be evacuated, so we went through to Ayrshire to stay with an aunt for a week or two, you know. I must have been looking around we only stayed away for a few days, and then we came home again. I think we realised we were happier at home rather than trying to stay in, you know, a house which was obviously overcrowded with people. So anyway, I went on to the railway.
You went to work? Did your dad
work
get
on
job
the railway? Yeah, my father got me a job on the railway.
Now, what were you doing? What was the job?
It was just checking the contents, what they called a checker. That was checking the contents of the wagons, you know, goods wagons. So I didn't like that job very much.
How long did you
stay? So I gave that up and I went into Co-op, a cooperative store. So I was there actually until January, and that's when I got called. Well, I didn't actually get called up, I went and joined.
Now, tell me about the work you did for the Co-op. What do you remember of that? exactly was your job at the co-op?
Oh, well, of course, I was just an apprentice grocer at that time. And these days, grocers were... you had a 7 years apprenticeship, which seems fantastic now. You had to learn all about grocery, about boning hams, cutting ham, how to... all about various teas, which seems ridiculous nowadays. You learn different teas, so if anybody asks you that. Everything else was made up in the shop, you know, you had to weigh everything up, sugar, lentils, peas, all the pulses, as they call them, you know, you had to weigh everything in the shop, everything was made up. Even butter had to be cut up and weighed and into quarter pound, half pound, so forth and so on. And then, of course, you had to serve customers at the same time. And as being an apprentice, I had to help deliver goods to people's houses, which you did in these days, you delivered goods. So that kept me going till...
And that was, when did you start at the co-op, 1940 or 1939?
Yeah, about 1940. I was there for 2 years, so it'd be 41. In actually, it'd be, well, it was January 43 when I joined the Navy, which was...
Hang on, I'll come back to it. Hang on. Now, how did the war affect your life? I mean, firstly, working in the co-op, what about food rationing? What impact did it make on...
Well, at first, I don't think there was much of a problem, you know, when I remember it now. Food was... I don't think there was too great a problem at the beginning, you know, because I can remember the people in the shop used to get hams and boil hams so that you had... Nowadays, you get it all ready, but there must have been plenty of meat or a reasonable amount of meat when people could, the manager or some of the shop staff could put hams in great big containers and boil them, you know. So there must have been enough meat to do that, you know. I think it must have been a wee bit later on things started to get tight.
So what happened when... How did the rationing system work, as far as you were concerned?
How
did the rationing system work? For you at the co-op?
Yeah, I can't remember. I can remember when I came back how it was. I can't really remember when I went away.
Now, what about air raid precautions?
Yes, that was our air raid precautions. Well, we used to have to take turn for fire watching.
Tell me about fire watching.
In the shop. So that, depending on the staff, I think we probably had about 12 people in the shop. So two of us each night got home an hour or so early to have something to eat and collect our night stuff, and then we went back to the shop, and by the time it was closed we spent the night on bunks sleeping in the shop with sand and buckets and pails of water so that if there was any incendiary bombs or anything like that, we were supposed to try and put them out.
Did anything ever happen?
No, not with us, no, nothing.
What about, did you have a shelter, an air raid shelter, in the shop or at home?
Yes, there was one at home, not in the shop, though, no, nothing in the shop.
What was your shelter like at home?
The shelter at home, well, we lived in a flat, again, a block of flats, just three high, and, what we call the back green, and it was a brick-built, a square brick-built shelter, was put in the back green, which took a lot of the space away, which the women wanted to do for the washing. But that could hold everyone in the stair, you know, so providing there was an average of four people in the house, 24 or 25 people that shelter could hold, you know.
And what was it like there when you went in there, you know? Did it have bunks?
There was nothing at all. When I think of it, there was nothing in it. We probably put some chairs in it and things like that. No, there was nothing to relax on, you know. I remember we put candles up on the wall because it was very dark in the place. No electricity or anything like that. So we put candles on the wall. But no, there were nothing like bunks or anything like that. Unfortunately, we didn't have to stay in it too long. Any time we had to go was maybe a couple of hours, something like that.
So you weren't in there very often? There weren't many raids?
No, maybe we'll say a dozen times at the most, you know. And even then, sometimes with false alarms.
How else did the war affect you before you were volunteered?
Before I got called up? Well, I can't say it was just that. The work, of course, I started work, that was a new experience. Unfortunately, the BBs, they got all folded up, the Boys Brigade, they were, which I think now was a bit daft, they stopped all these activities, you know, so immediately you had nothing to do, you know, in these evenings. At first they used us, for the first few months, as messengers. They thought there were going to be a lot of air raids, so they took us BBs and but if we had a bicycle, they sent us to first aid posts, or where the wardens were posts, and we just stayed with them, and we were supposed to be in the event of a raid. If communications broke down, we had to get on our bike and cycle to wherever we needed to take messages, so on. But fortunately, again, that never happened up here, you know.
And then they suspended the Boys Brigade. When would that be?
When they stopped, right at the beginning of the war. In 1939, after that, they were finished, you know. Well, as I say, except for this air raid thing. But that lasted a few months, and that was dissolved as well. So that was the BB's finished, you know.
Now, what about, how were you called up? Tell us the process of how you were called up.
How
or volunteered, which, you know.
Well, actually, I was 18 in August. That would be the year before, that would be 1942. So I was dead keen to get in the Navy. I didn't know I wasn't going to the Army or that. So I went along and joined or volunteered in what is now in George Street. It's a music hall in George Street to this day. The place is still there. I went along and volunteered there.
Now, what sort of tests or questions did they ask you when you joined up?
Oh, honestly, again, I can't mind getting the medical. I can't really remember tests, but they asked me what I would, and I told them I'd like to be a telegraphist, you know, a wireless operator.
Now, why did you want to be a telegraphist? What had made you want to do that?
Again, I don't know, maybe the glamour of the thing, it sounded glamorous, you know. As long as you weren't the last to leave the ship. I just thought that would be a good job, you know. I just always fancied that sort of thing, you know.
And you volunteered in August when you were 18.
That's right,
And but you didn't go then, did you?
No. Well, what happened? I often think it just shows you what fate again. In Edinburgh, very unusual, probably the first and the last time, there was an outbreak of smallpox came along just after about that time, an outbreak of smallpox, and they would take no one for the forces from Edinburgh for a while. So, you know, we were in limbo. I might have been away sooner, but this thing cropped up, and they wouldn't take anyone for the force. So, anyway, that must have gone on a wee while, and eventually, and that was January before I did go, you know. I probably got word a few weeks before that, maybe, we'll say a month before that, maybe I got word to go.
Now, what did your parents think when you were called up, when, you know, January 43? How did they
Yeah, well, I don't suppose they'd be very happy. Don't suppose they'd be very happy, but, Oh, I didn't say very much, I don't think, you know.
Now, you were called up January 43. Where did you have to go to? Where did you do your basic training?
Oh, down to Skegness. That was, what was that, Royal Arthur, wasn't it? Royal Arthur. That was on 26th. My mother that spotted it, 26th of January. She was Rabbi Burns' birthday. And she said, you'll never forget when you get called up, because you went to Rabbi Burns' birthday. Well, it's true enough.
And What was the journey down there like? Did you travel with some other sailors?
We went. Oh, yes. What they did was they got a trip. I think there'd be about maybe half a dozen of us from Edinburgh. It was at night time. I don't know what time. Say 10 o'clock train. Usually about 10 o'clock at night. So we all met up at the station there. Got on the train and everything else is a blank after that, until we got there.
And so what was your reception? You know when you arrive as a civilian, you go through the gates and then you're in the
right.
Navy.
Yeah.
What do you remember of your reception, how they took you into the Navy?
Yeah, well, when we got there, the first thing they did with us from Edinburgh was put us right into the sick bay because of the smallpox thing. So they put us in the sick bay for not long, a day or two, just to check us over, I think, to see that things were all right. And then after that, that was it. We just got kitted out.
Now, what do you remember of the kitting out? What do you remember of being kitted out? What did they give you?
Full uniforms. You know, they've got two pairs of jackets and two trousers, hats. Oh no, we got more or less everything. The full uniform, I put, like, there was no skimping on it, you know, it was full uniform as far as I know.
And what were the huts like? You were in huts, I presume.
What were the?
You were in huts.
Yeah, well, it was actually the original huts from Butman's days.
Chalets,
that's the one. And there was only two of us in each chalet.
Could you describe them, what they were like, you know?
The chalet was just a small wooden hut or chalet, as we call it, with one double bed, which would never be allowed nowadays. And I doubt if it had a wash hand basin in it or anything. It must have had something for a wardrobe or something. Of course, we were still using all the stuff that had been fitted by Butlins, you know. No, they would just maybe have a wardrobe or somewhere to hang clothes up and a bed. No heating, as far as I can remember. What made me laugh often is that they had a board about a foot wide, fitted down the centre of the bed, so that the two of us, one had to sleep on the one side and the other had to sleep on the other side. But fortunately, that was in slots, so we could take that out. And it was so cold at night, we had shared our blankets and shared our coats and everything, and we had no thought of any other.
It was January, so January, February.
January, and for 6 weeks, that's right. So that was from January, it must have been in the February, beginning of March. Uh-huh.
Now, can we look at sort of the sort of training you were doing? I mean, perhaps a typical day. I know there's no such thing as a typical day.
Mm.
About what time would your day start?
What time do you start? Probably, must have been 7 o'clock, I think, eh? It'd be about 7 in the morning. Well, we would be up by that time, 7, probably breakfast, half past 7, 8 o'clock.
Now, what was the food like?
Food seemed to be all right, as far as I can remember, yeah. I'm quite a fussy character for food, actually, so I don't remember it being bad, so it must have been reasonably all right, you know, yeah.
Was there enough of it? Was there enough of it? I mean...
Oh, yes, yes, as far as I know. Yes, I would say so. Enough for me, anyway.
And what sort of training might you get in the morning?
Well, it was mostly... drill, you know.
Now, you'd done drill with the boys' brigade. How did you take to Navy drill?
No problem, I don't think. No problem. Some people had a problem, but I always mind one chap. It was just a shame, you know. He couldn't keep his right foot from his left foot, you know. He's just the odd man out, you know. It was a shame, really, he got always in trouble. But no problem with that, no.
Did you understand why you had to do so much drill at the time? I mean, did you know why you were doing so much drill?
Well, I probably didn't think about it at the time, but you realise now that you've got to work as a body, haven't you, or a party, you know, you've got to do that.
Was it different from Boys' Brigade drill? Or, I mean, was there a Navy style to the drill, or was it very much the same?
Probably different. We had a rifle, you know, we had no rifle, and where it was more a rifle role, you know, rather than just... farming fours and farming threes and so on, you know.
Now, what other training would you get there in that 6 weeks?
Well, you had PT.
I mean, you weren't a sportsman, were you? Did the PT, how did it work in building you up, strengthening you, would you say? What sort of thing were you doing?
Oh, we were just doing, physical exercise, you know, jumping about, arm stretch and all this stuff, you know, but that was about it.
Any route marches or runs?
No, we didn't go any route march. No, it was almost in the camp there. Just in the camp, I would say, there, yeah. As far as I can remember, yeah.
Did it make you fitter? Did it work?
Probably, yeah. Probably surpassed what I could do. Yeah.
And what other training?
Yeah, well, I've got some boat drill. Boat drill.
Tell me about boat drill. What's boat drill?
Uh-huh. Oh, well, cut the entire room in swimming pools. I think one or two swimming pools, so they're these, was it cutters or big boats, sort of anchored in the swimming pool, so you couldn't actually go anywhere, you know. But how you got in them, I can't remember how. And they would teach you to row them. But the other thing was they had, that was really daring, was a boom, which is, some ships had a boom from the side of the ship, and they walked along the boom and down a ladder into the boat. So they had one of them as well, so it used to make me practice going along the boom and down the ladder, you know. If you didn't make it, you fell in the bottom. I don't remember anybody falling in there, you know. So that was that, but they did that.
Did you have to learn to swim, or show you could swim?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, not there. Not there, funny enough. Aberdeen,
we'll come back to that.
Yes.
What about seamanship, basic seamanship, things like knots and splices, box and a compass, rules of the road, that sort of thing. Did you do any of that?
I don't remember doing that, no. I can't say I did.
What about actual rifle shooting?
Again, not there.
Right.
No.
Anything else you remember from there that you did, types of training? I know it was only a short time, and it would have been mostly drill.
Oh, well, what happened while I was there, they were having at Coventry, they were having a war bonds parade with all the services. So while we were there, they started off with, I don't know how many people, for the rifle drill and so on and so on and so on. And they whittled it down to, I think it was 99, have you? So many rows of three, 99 men. I was one of the people. I was lucky. I was unlucky I got picked for the rifle drill. So we had a weekend in Coventry. It took us away for one weekend to Coventry. And on the Sunday, they had this church parade, I think, and then a march through the town for a war bond thing.
And how did it go?
Oh, I think it was all right, yeah, I think it was okay. Seemed to go all right. The only thing was, I opened my mind, what was his name? Dusty Miller, I think he was a famous man, Dusty Miller. He was a petty officer, gunnery expert. When we came out of the church and that, he was forming us up and we had to, you know, form from the right or something like that, and we had to put our arm out, and that was a distance apart, but however, when the Navy did that, there was no room for the Army or anybody else to form. So they had to tell Dusty to drop that idea and put it back down again. But apart from that, again, people say it's funny that, in Coventry, I don't remember where we stayed, but I'm sure we stayed from Friday, maybe. We had a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday there, you know?